Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jazzcast Pros.
Welcome to Season 7 of Healthy Illness Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Marie. Healthy Illness is all about helping you build healthier relationships while living with mental health conditions. Season 7 is all about movement, and we are starting this conversation about movement on sleep. So like, subscribe, and share. I look forward to having this conversation with you and our guest, Soda Kuchkowski, who is the founder of Start With Sleep, an incredible business here in Buffalo. And Soda works to help people better understand sleep, how sleep works, how your body uses sleep. And today, we are going to talk about why sleep is so important to your foundation for movement through sleep. I think we minimize sleep so much when it's so important to every function. So thank you. And thank you so much for being here. And thank you for sharing your time with me and everyone here. So we already did the podcast when I had no anything. Like there was no equipment. Still shoestring budget, but at least there's a little more sophistication, just a little bit. And wanted to circle back around to that conversation around the foundation of sleep, why it's so important. If you can start, though, with a little bit about yourself, what brings you to sleep space and why you find sleep so important to do this as your work.
My backstory is that I've always loved sleep. I feel like innately from when I was little, you never had to send me to bed. I was ready to go. I always prioritized it as a teen in my 20s. You know, as an adult now, I instill those same values on my daughter because it equips us to manage our physical, mental, and emotional health, right? So when we are well slept, our best slept self, as the National Sleep Foundation likes to say, it supports us in a number of different ways. I mean, in terms of our mental health, there's a vicious cycle that can exist there. Even if getting one bad night of sleep, we tend to think slower. We tend to be more negative individuals. Physically, when you're talking about recovery, getting that deep sleep, I know you're talking about movement, and there's a lot of different types of movement. There's, you know, vigorous exercise, which can induce that deeper sleep. There's stretching, which I'm a big proponent of. A lot of times people don't think about stretching in the morning, right? Because we see it in commercials, but we don't necessarily think about the fact that when you're sleeping, most people sleep in like the fetal position and they're curled up or their hands are in fists or they're under the pillow. They don't think about the fact that we actually need to stretch all of our muscles, right? Even our fingers and our toes. We need to be able to do what's called Kawa's exercises. So there's circular articular rotations where it's like we're moving these different parts of our body because as we get older, that's why we have that stiffness because we forget the simple things, that stretching in the morning. Like it's not just for those commercials, it's for us too.
I love that. One of my kids is a big sleeper. Well, I feel like my entire family, we've got the sleep gene. It has left me in this last few years, but I love sleep too. And one of the kids was the same way. Like if you, like, where is that kid? They were probably off taking a nap somewhere. It wasn't like, are they in trouble? Like, where are they sleeping? So I love that you have that story of sleep as just you being Soda. And I want to make sure that we do a takeaway around waking up in the morning so you have a good night's sleep. What does that look like? What are a couple things? You said like moving your joints and getting some movement, but I want to talk about that a little bit. But when it comes to preparing a sleep routine, because some people don't want to have a sleep routine, they just want to hop into bed. So no matter what people call it, what would you say are some of the foundational pieces that people should kind of like keep in mind when preparing for a good night's sleep?
So for me, I think like sleep success is more about setting yourself up. So it's about looking at your environment, right? I'm a big proponent for having like the amber light, whether it be a night light, your bedside light. Personally, in my home, we have one of the dimmable ones where starting at 8 o'clock, it goes down to 73%, then 53%, and it kind of leads us into that evening hour. So we don't necessarily have to think about, oh, is it 10 o'clock? The light should be dimmed. We have set that routine where it's automatically doing that. So our body starts to prepare for rest. We're collectively winding down without having to actually do anything. Because when life gets busy and you're so bogged down or you're having a stressful day, you're not going to take the time to put on the diffuser or, you know, maybe draw that bath, whatever that bedtime routine looks like for you. Self-care presents itself in very different ways because depending on how hard of a day you've had is how you have to take care of yourself, right? But if you set your sleep space up for success, you've already put those pieces into place. You have those darkening blinds, right? You have a humidifier. I just started a routine where it's, you know, the lights dim, the humidifier goes on, we have the darkening blinds on at all times. You know, I make sure that I keep my room dust free. So it's like those types of things are the things that are going to improve the quality of our sleep, is making sure that we have those foundational pieces. So I think taking care of your sleep space is going to be even more important than the sleep routine, because a lot of times it's like an afterthought, right? You have a very stressful day, you can't sleep, you're laying there wide-eyed, and you're like, well, what can I do? Oh, I'll get up and I'll look at my phone, or I'll have a cup of tea. And it's kind of like you're being reactive, right? We want to be proactive. And we want to say that I had a hard day, but when you get home and those lights start to dim, your body says, you know what? This is my safe place. This is the time for me to be able to unwind and relax naturally without having to put any extra effort into it.
And, you know, I feel like a lot of folks have some of those things in their houses already, the humidifier, the aromatherapy, whether it's the steam mister or plugins that, you know, have smells, incense, like candles. So it's not necessarily that people have to go out and buy all this stuff. I feel like a lot of folks that are in this space of health and like trying to be better, you know, their health, have some of these things already in the home. Are there things that, and a cell phone, I'm going to guess, is like the number one no-no. But when looking at that preparation for sleep, what should we start to limit in our interactions with our space? So I'm going to say, you know, survey says number one, put down the cell phone. In the television.
What you're talking about, when you're talking about the television, you're talking about your phone, your tablet, your computer, what we're talking about is blue light. And everyone has a different sensitivity to blue light. So depending if you're someone who works on a computer all day, or if a lot of times we see our young ones now where they spend a lot of time on the tablet and they come home and they're watching TV, they're more sensitive to that blue light. So it's going to be kind of that culprit for why they're not able to wind down and fall asleep or maintain their sleep. Right? So it's all relative to the individual. When it comes to technology, it can work for us and work against us, right? So as I mentioned, we set routines that can be very beneficial. Even on your phone, it comes pre-built in. You can set, you know, at 8 o'clock, it turns on that night filter. Now it doesn't completely block that blue or green light that we need in order to be able to wind down, but it's a starting point, right? You can set that routine where, oh, if it starts to dim at 8 or 8:30, you say, oh, you know what? It's time for me to start thinking about stepping away from this. Right. So it helps us shape those kind of habits and behaviors around sleep, because we can easily fall back into old patterns. So sometimes we need those little tweaks to help us. Like with Google Home or any of those kind of home devices, they used to be pretty expensive, but now you can get plugins where it's like, you know, you can get a whole pack for like $29 and set these routines on your phone. A lot of it has become very cost effective.
Do you have any affiliate links for sleep stuff that we could put in the show notes for people?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I just created with my new brand, The Doze, we just created a night light for the bathroom or the hallway, a bedside light, and also three different types of blue blockers, depending on if you're someone who works during the day, you're a shift worker, you tend to have issues with blue light at night, because they put blue light in everything now. So we've come out with a number of products to kind of support you in those, creating those better habits.
Awesome. So that'll be in the show notes and clickable places for people to be able to enhance their sleep routine. So when it comes to exercise and movement, what are some things that people should remember when it comes to sleep and exercise?
Well, the general rule for exercise is you want to make sure that you're not exercising. You don't want to be doing too much strenuous exercise before bed. You want to stop exercising like 2 to 3 hours before bed. If you are doing something closer to bedtime, it should be, you know, yoga, or, you know, there's different types of restorative yoga, yoga nidra, just a slow movement, deep breathing, tai chi. Like there's all different types of slower movements. We just don't want to be pumping in that adrenaline through our body and then we're trying to wind down. There's a best time for people to exercise or to do a number of things based on what's known as their chronotype. Like for me, it's actually better for me to work out in the evening, but I know that I'll walk on the treadmill. I won't do anything. Like I'm not going to do Zumba at 8 o'clock at night because it's going to be harder for me to wind down.
I just thought about caffeine. I personally thought that caffeine kept me awake, and it may, maybe it's a type of caffeine, like coffee versus like Red Bull. Well, Red Bull is, I mean,
that's sugar.
Well, I drink the sugar free, which I think makes it all the other things worse because you're not drinking the sugar. So we're not even going to talk about Red Bull.
Well, with the caffeine, everyone has a different sensitivity to it, and we all metabolize it at a different rate. So it has a half-life of 5 to 8 hours. So the big thing is, like, I could have a cup of coffee and I can go to sleep, but even though I can go to sleep and I can maintain my sleep, it won't be as deep as if I didn't have that caffeine in my system. So caffeine reduces deep sleep by 20%. So if you know that, you say, oh, you know what? I have a big presentation the next morning. I'm not going to engage in that caffeine this late at night because I know it's going to disrupt my sleep, which is going to disrupt my, you know, mental recovery, my physical recovery, and it's going to throw me off for the next day. And then again, it's relative to what you're consuming. And then the last point for caffeine is when we have caffeine in our system, it suppresses our body's ability to produce melatonin. And that's that hormone that keeps us regulated of sleep throughout the night. So having that in your system also suppresses your alcohol and caffeine suppress melatonin production.
This is good stuff. You have so much information. So if someone is starting a, say, just an exercise routine, maybe walking or going to the gym, whatever they decide to do to add some movement into their life, and it comes to like adjusting sleep schedules if necessary. We talked about chronotypes on the previous episode, and I actually went to the website and looked at my chronotype. I forgot which one I am. Hit the bear.
So 55%. So I'm also a bear. So I have a schedule that's like, I want to be in bed by, you know, 10 or 11. I wake up at like 7 a.m.
That's me. Okay. Yeah. So that one.
That's 55% of the population. That's why we follow the rules that we do, because 55% of us fall into that category.
And it's not like 45% fall in the others. They're spread out amongst all the others. So, Yes. Okay. Yep. I'm glad I'm a bear. When it comes to adding that exercise, do you find that people need more sleep when they exercise, less sleep? Is there a correlation between the amount of sleep you need and exercise?
Well, absolutely. Like, for instance, my daughter is an athlete, right? So even for her age group, she could get a little bit less sleep, but she gets 11 hours of sleep every single night because, I mean, she's going to be a black belt in Taekwondo come August. She does tumbling. You know, she's like Supergirl. And you need to be able to have that rest, right, in order to be able to recover. So our athletes, absolutely, they're going to need more of that recovery time because they're doing a lot more strenuous activity with their body, right? If you think about, you know, lifting weights, running, all the things that go into that versus if you're just taking up, you know, walking, maybe power walking is a little bit more, but it depends on the type of activity you're doing. But the important rule is just to move. It doesn't matter what that looks like. Even if it's like, you know what, I'm going to get up from the couch and I'm going to sit back down. Today, do it 3 times. Tomorrow, do it 15 times. It's just about taking those small steps towards changing and getting into that mindset of it's important to move. It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, because it's all going to depend on the limitations of the individual as well.
And you talked a little bit earlier about waking up and what that was like and how most people sleep in the fetal position. And there's a process that the body needs to go through. Can you talk a little bit about waking up? Is that also a part of restful sleep? Can you undo good sleep with the bad wake-up routine?
You absolutely can. And that if you're someone who likes to set the alarm for like every 3 or 5 minutes and you're constantly, you know, I've met quite a few people that they'll set their alarm for like a 90-minute period and they're just constantly hitting that snooze button. We can wake up and fall right back into what's known as REM or rapid eye movement, which is, you know, where memory consolidation happens. So the majority of people wake up, even if they've gotten enough sleep, say they've slept 7 or 8 hours, they wake up in a state of sleep inertia. And that's where we feel like that discombobulation. We don't know what's going on. If you've ever taken like a long nap and you've slept for too long, you wake up and you're like, is it Saturday? Am I late for work? Like, where am I? And you have no idea. You're completely disoriented. That happens because we wake up during the wrong part of our sleep cycle. So if you are, in fact, hitting the snooze button, that's why I say that technology can be our friend, because if we're tracking our sleep patterns, we understand how long our sleep cycle is. There's a lot of these applications now where all you do is press start and stop, and it'll help you wake up during the right part of your sleep cycle. So we want to wake up during those lighter stages so that when we wake up, we actually feel the benefits of that sleep and we don't undo it by waking up like, you know, with jarring noises and, you know, the wrong part of our cycle, or, you know, falling back asleep and then waking back up again. So it's important. Mm-hmm. The way that we wake up is also very important.
And how does a person know if they've gotten enough sleep?
It's going to be subjective. Everyone needs a different amount of sleep. We generally don't want to get consistently less than 6 hours because that's where we see the bidirectional relationship between, you know, it can affect our mental health. So you're more likely to feel depressed or more likely to exacerbate like mental health disorders, like anxiety. All of those things are fed when we don't sleep well. The general rule is people need about 7 to 8 hours. Some people need a little bit more, but we also don't want to sleep excessively. If someone's sleeping, you know, 11, 12, 13 hours and they feel like they're still needing to supplement with a nap, that's still a sign of a sleep disorder. There's like over 90 different sleep disorders. A lot of times people don't recognize what a sleep challenge looks like. So it's not just trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. It's waking up repeatedly in the middle of the night. You can't sleep for more than an hour or two. It's waking up, you know, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when you want to be waking up at 6 o'clock. It's sleeping 7 or 8 hours and then feeling as though you're unrested. It's sleeping short throughout the week, but then on the weekend trying to make up sleep because you can't really make it up, right? But that timing can help to alleviate some of that sleep debt. But again, you have to be able to track those sleep patterns and wake up and not oversleep. It can get very complicated.
Yeah. Huh.
That's why sleep is very individualistic. But to get back to like your point about waking up and movement and what's one of the most important things you can do, the big thing that we say in sleep is that a good night's sleep starts the minute that you wake up. So the timing of when you wake up, getting light first thing in the morning produces serotonin, which later on helps us to produce melatonin. So everything that we do throughout the day, especially that light regulation, getting those blue and rich days. So that's like you have glasses. If they have blue light filters, take those off, right? Getting in that light first thing in the morning, again, between that 12 noon and 2 p.m. and then starting to limit those artificial light sources, like once the sun sets or like 8 or 8:30. All of those things will improve your sleep quality. There was a study out of Toronto that showed that just paying attention to light regulation alone, and I believe I've told you this before, it improves sleep quality by 83%. So just paying attention, light, it's a free source, right? And if we just pay attention to it, it can do so much to keep us in sync and make sure that we're not misaligned. Because that's what happens when people feel really tired, is circadian misalignment.
Wow. So you and I just need to like make an appointment and just come and talk to you and be my sleep specialist. But for the rest of the world, when it comes to morning and waking up and starting out, you said a good night's sleep starts with how you wake up?
It starts the minute you wake up, right? So making sure that you're waking up during the right part of your sleep cycle, getting like not just getting enough sleep, but waking up during the right part of your sleep cycle, and then making sure you're taking in that morning light. You're getting out of bed, you're stretching, you're having a cup of water. Like there's a lot of things that we do throughout the day that will help support our sleep patterns at night.
And if someone wants to learn more about that process and develop a sleep schedule and routine and a wake up routine to kind of complement their baseline health and also this notion of, you know, adding movement to their life, how can people reach you? What is working with a sleep specialist like what should people expect?
So there's a lot of different things. As I mentioned, I just created a retail division for my business called The Doze on Hurdle Avenue. So here we have a lot of sleep enhancing products. I have an assessment that people will be able to take on my website shortly. When I work with clients, you know, it's doing a series of intakes over a period of time so they can really understand themselves, their habits, their patterns, and kind of how to restructure their schedule based on their individual needs. I do a lot with shift workers. So those can be more challenging cases, especially because they're sleeping during the day, they're working at night, maybe they have family. So there's a lot of other external factors that have to be considered when putting, you know, a plan together. The number one thing that I tell people is that you need to make the decision that you're ready to prioritize it. Because when you're ready to prioritize it, the other things start to come into place, right? You can buy a tool, you can most certainly, they can help you, right? But it's setting up those routines, thinking about the choices that you're making throughout the day, but setting yourself, like even technology, again, remembering to drink water, setting an alarm, you know, setting an alarm to remember to take deep breaths. There's all these ways that it can help support us in creating better habits, right? And those habits will shape both the energy that we have during the day and our sleep at night.
That's awesome. So in the last few moments that we have together, what would you tell someone that says, okay, I'm ready. This is it. I'm going to prioritize my sleep. What do I need to do?
It would be contingent on the individual, but the number one thing besides prioritizing their sleep, that light regulation, I think is going to be the most important. And with everyone, I like for them initially. Like, I don't like to use technology long-term unless you're using it for routines, but getting a baseline. So understanding like your sleep patterns, learning, you know, how much sleep you need so that you understand when is it that you should be waking up? When is it that you should be going to bed? You have to learn that information. You have to learn about yourself. And then it's much easier to put those pieces into play once you understand, like, you know what, in order to feel my best, I need 9 hours of sleep. So if I need 9 hours of sleep, what does that look like for my lifestyle? Versus someone who's like, you know what, I only need 6 hours, right? Or I'm only going to give it 6 hours. So it's based on what's the mindset of the individual? What are they willing to do, right? So that you can kind of craft that based on their lifestyle.
Thank you. This was so good. And so sleep cycle, I think, was the name of that? Was that Sleep
Cycle? So Sleep Cycle is one that I recommend. There's one now. You can actually get a 30-day free trial. I've collaborated with a sleep doctor. It's called Sleep Space. So if you go to sleepspace.com/startwithsleep, you can get a free 30-day trial. And there you can learn your sleep pattern. It has the alarm clock. You can learn about your chronotype. It has programs. It has soundscapes, which are great because if you use the soundscapes, it actually evaluates the sound in your environment, and it'll change the volume based on what your environment, like how that car alarm is going off. If I was sleeping, it would turn it up a little bit more. So it's just a great tool.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership.
We created Bossy to be a safe place to ask the hard questions and to get support that's necessary.
With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must be nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Business ownership leads to unexpected knowledge. What are you an expert at?
Tell us at Getting Real with Bossy and subscribe today.
So that will be in the show notes so you can go out and start with sleep. I love it. Soda, thank you so much for taking the time out. First of all, for being a specialist in this space, because sleep is so important. And you read about risk factors for physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health. Like, sleep is on all of those lists. And so being able to have people begin to just touch base with themselves and say, all right, these are my needs. So check out Soda on the Doze podcast on the Jazzcast Pros Network. Soda and I have known each other for a few years now, and now we're both on a network together, which is incredible. I love sharing this space with you. And
thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Until the next time, if you are interested in learning about sleep, please check the show notes for all of the links to reach Soda Guzkowski at Start With Sleep and to become a listener and subscriber of the Doze podcast, as well as the Healthy Illness podcast. So until next time, I encourage you to be the light. We are focusing on movement in this season 7. So come back. I have Onward Run coach Mary Beth Scott. She is going to be talking about running and running for mental health and all things coaching as it relates to getting those 2 feet moving a little bit faster. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the podcast, sharing your life with me. Like, subscribe, share, all the things you already know. Until the next time, you already know. Be the light.